The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And last week we looked at what we have over here is what happens to us when we die. And I'd like to look with you at the resurrection of the dead today. Remember, just a little review from last week, what happens to us when we die? Of course, Christ over here on the cross, right, he died and rose for us. And we live somewhere in this part of time before he comes again, right? We're a spirit and a body together in this life, right? So we're living along here, and when we die, what happens to us? Our body goes into the grave, right? And our spirit goes either to heaven to be with Christ, or, you know, if you're not in Christ, then down into Hades, into fire, right? That's from the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. So at the coming of Christ, on the last day, when he comes to judge the world, which is coming really very soon, actually, what happens? Our bodies will be raised from their graves, reunited with our spirits, and if we're in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will enter into the new heavens and the new earth with a resurrected body to live with God, Christ forever, face to face, right? And if your body here was raised and you were contrary to God, then you judged are in hell down there in the fire. So there's a little review from last week, what happens to us when we die. So when we die, what happens? Immediately with Christ in heaven and at his return, our bodies will be raised. And that's an amazing thing I'd like to talk with you about today, the resurrection of our bodies, and get a better understanding of it from the scriptures. So what can we say about the resurrection of the dead? What do we believe about that? Well, one thing we can see is that really the whole of the Bible, the whole of Scripture, this is central to the entire Bible, the resurrection of the body, right? Correct. I mean, let's take a look at just a few of these places. For example, Isaiah 26. Here, God says, "Thy dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. O dwellers in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for thy dew is a dew of light, and onto the land of the shades thou wilt let it fall." Isn't that amazing? You can go over here to Ezekiel. God is speaking to his prophet there. And Ezekiel says, "The Lord said to me, prophesy to these bones, Ezekiel, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So is that resurrection language in the Bible? Absolutely. You could go over here to Job, that great man. Remember, he said, "I know that my Redeemer lives," from which we get the song, right? "And at the last, he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has thus been destroyed," over here, right, in the grave, he says, "then from my flesh," that's the resurrected body, "I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another." And just one more from the Old Testament here, Daniel says this, "and many of those," this is Daniel 12, verse 2, "and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth," that's over here, under the grave, "shall awake, some to everlasting life," that's up here, "and some to everlasting shame and contempt." Shame and everlasting contempt. And so, that's the Old Testament. How about the New Testament? Just briefly here, Jesus, in John chapter 5, verse 28, he says this, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice." When Jesus returns, they'll hear his voice, it says, "and come forth out of their graves," out of their tombs, "those who've done good to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of judgment." And then there's one more New Testament one here. Paul also gives testimony when he was, remember, before the governor, giving his testimony at the trial. He says, "I worship the God of our fathers," says Paul, "believing everything laid down by the law or written in the prophets, having a hope in God which they themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and of the unjust." So this is a totally, totally central to the entire word of God to man, isn't it? The resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of the body, This is central theme of the entire scripture. Everything hangs on that. And guess what? Jesus died and rose again. So this is amazing. Now, what does it mean to be resurrected? It means that your body, which has gone into the earth, in the grave, undergoes decay, returns to dust, we believe is going to come up out of that grave and come to life again. Wow. Now, how does the world respond to this kind of a belief? This is absurd. You mean you Christians, you believe you're actually going to get up out of your graves? And they think that's ridiculous, right? That's an affront to reason. You guys are crazy. Now I know that you Christians are idiots, right? Says the world. Because this is an affront to reason, they say. But as we'll see in a moment, this is actually very reasonable and founded on the Word of God. And listen to what Paul says. In Acts 26, he says, when he was on trial, why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? Right? Why is this incredible? Is this hard for God? Why is this thought impossible? All things are possible to him, and as we're going to see, actually, it's also very reasonable too. So let's get into it a little bit more here and understand about the resurrection of our bodies, the resurrection of the dead. Let me ask you, why do we die in the first place? Sin. Okay, so we could go over here once again to Genesis. At the very beginning, God said to Adam, right, you can freely eat of all these trees, but of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die, right? So you die. And the judgment to Adam was, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So let's put a comparison up here between Adam and Christ. What happens in Adam? Right over here, the Bible just told us. He was the head, okay? The chief, the leader of the human race, representative of all humanity, right? He sinned, and what does it say in Romans 5, verse 12? Therefore, sin came into the world through one man. Who's that? Adam, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men, because all men sinned, right? So death reigned through this one man. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for as by a man came death, and we'll stop there for just a moment. So what happened in Adam, our first great-grandfather, going back far enough? He fell from grace, right? He fell into sin, and therefore we all have this sin nature from Adam, right? We all sin. And Romans 5 says that brought condemnation upon the whole world. The punishment for sin is death right there. And there it is, death to all men because of Adam, correct? So that's where why people die. That's why we return to the dust. That's why we decay and rot. Our bodies are going to do that, right? Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime. Why do we believe that we can be raised from the dead and that we will be raised from the dead? Let's take a look over here. In 1 Corinthians 15, and see what we read by Paul and the Holy Spirit. It says, for verse 21, for as by a man, that's Adam, came death, by a man, that's Christ, has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. So let's get out this little sheet here for Christ. Put this up here. Let's look at this. Let's compare these two. These guys are both heads of the human race. He was the head of humanity the first time. Christ is the head of the new humanity, God's number one chief man. Everybody fell in Adam when he fell. Everybody sinned because when he sinned, we have sin nature. We're all under condemnation through Adam and all into death. But Adam fell, but Christ rose. Right? Adam fell, but Christ rose. Adam brought sin. Christ brings us righteousness. And what kind of righteousness? In Romans 5, it says the free gift of righteousness. God gives you righteousness to receive by faith, Christ's righteousness. Through Adam came condemnation. Through Christ comes justification. What happened over here? He died for your sins, right? He rose again to justify you, to pronounce you as righteous, to forgive and give you eternal life through faith. This is amazing. And by Adam, therefore, everybody died, and everybody experiences that, right? Believers don't deny that they die, but guess what? In Christ shall all be made alive. Life comes through Jesus Christ. That's why we believe we can and will be raised. Think of this line from Romans 5, verse 17. If because of one man's trespass, that's Adam's, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Isn't that fantastic? Say amen.
Amen.
I mean, this is resurrection from the dead comes through Jesus Christ, just as death came through Adam. 1 Corinthians 15, once again, for as by man came death, Adam, by a man has come the resurrection of the dead. That's Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus say to Martha? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, though his body die, yet shall he live, his spirit. And he who believes in me shall never die. So you're going to be raised over here at the judgment. Your spirit's alive. Your body will come out of the grave alive. I mean, this is amazing. And Jesus says, for this is the will of my Father, John 6, verse 40. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. How certain is your resurrection? Only as certain as the Word of God, which never fails. Rock solid, you're coming out of the graves, friends. In fact, everybody's coming out of the graves. Believers and unbelievers. You know that? It's not just believers that are raised. Unbelievers too. But some are raised to life and some to judgment. So believers are raised to life. Now, let's ask this next question. When will our bodies be raised? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, shall we? 1 Corinthians 15 says, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Does that make sense? Christ is first. How is he first? He's first in rank, right? Isn't he? Because he's preeminent in all things. He's the first. He's also first in time. Because over here, he's the first to rise from the dead. He's the first man in the history of all histories to rise and have an immortal body, incorruptible. The first human being. All right. But he's not the last. He's the first fruits. At his coming, then you get raised in the same way that he was raised. So he's first in everything, right? First in time, he's first in rank and preeminence, but he's not the last. We're going to be raised with him as he was raised. That's the promise of the scriptures. I mean, is this amazing to you or what? I mean, the things that we believe as Christians, that we're going to be coming out of our graves. And what does the world cry? Absurd! Right? This is ridiculous. This is an affront to reason. You Christians, now I know that you're idiots. You really believe you're going to rise from the dead? Well, is this really absurd? Let's see how reasonable, actually, it really is. Paul handles this question in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, but someone will ask. You know, someone's going to come up and challenge you and ask this question. How are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Paul answers, you foolish man, what you sow doesn't come to life unless it dies, and what you sow is not the body which is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain, but God gives it a body as he's chosen, and each kind of seed its own body. Does that make sense to you? It's a little deep, isn't it?
Yes.
Paul's always deep. It takes a little deep look. Let me see if I can expand that and explain on that just a little bit. Explain, right. Yeah, you got it. So, in all of nature, right, you can just look around you today, right? All of nature based on this principle. If you have a grain of wheat, like he says, it starts with a seed, doesn't it? And the seed has an outer shell that has to rot away, right? And inside is a bare kernel, isn't it? And that from that kernel is what's going to spring up a new piece of wheat. For example, take this little acorn, which you can find right outside. See how little tiny it is, right? Who would believe that I'm holding in my hand right now the great oak tree? That stretches 100 feet in the air. It has a huge strength and mass, right? In here, and this is so true, it's like unbelievable, but it's true. This little tiny acorn that you can see right there, its purpose, is its purpose to be an acorn forever? Is that why it got created? Right? Its purpose is ultimately to become the mighty oak tree, right? But during its lifetime, this little acorn clings to the tree, wants to live. It's green. It's trying to get its life from the tree. But can it become an oak tree while remaining an acorn forever? What's the acorn got to do? This is what Paul is saying. All nature works on this principle. It's got to die. It's got to fall from the tree, and its outer shell, the husk, has to go into the ground and decay, because unless that happens, this won't happen, that what is inside of this acorn, that miracle, is going to spring up and become an oak tree, right? You can't get this into an oak tree if it remains ever an acorn. It's got to die, go into the earth, and then be raised out of that acorn. So let's put this guy up here. Here's the acorn, little acorn, that's you. You got to go into the earth. This is the principle of nature, right? It's got to go into the earth. And then eventually, it becomes the great oak tree. And Paul is saying here, and I'm saying, is that the whole of nature works on the principle of the resurrection all the time, right? All seeds. Did you begin as a seed? You begin as a, every one of us begin as, I'm not going to get too graphic here, but a tiny little seed. And out of that has sprung up a whole human being. Whales began as little tiny seeds, and now God gives them a body. Why is it thought impossible by any of you that God raises the dead? Paul says in the following verses, doesn't God give bodies to everything already anyway? Right? Everything's got a seed. God gives a whale his body out of a seed. God gives, you know, a butterfly his body out of a seed. He gives, he gives us bodies. God is a giver of bodies. Why is it thought impossible God's going to give you a body when he comes again? He does this all the time. And the principle is in nature that you have to die before the second stage comes. And what is it? The lesser stage is preceded by the glorious stage. The oak tree is millions upon millions of times greater in glory than the acorn. Amen? You could look at this same principle. Let me just see, make sure I'm staying on task here. Let's look at this principle over here with the butterfly. And I was just visiting someone on Friday, and they happened to have in the back of their house this very thing happening, and I saw it with my own eyes. You got a little caterpillar crawling along the ground, a creature of the earth, a creature of the dust, right? Kind of pretty, but kind of not. It has to do what in order to become the butterfly? It has to die, in a sense. It has to go into a chrysalis, or some say a cocoon. And then it eventually comes out transformed and glorified as a creature of the upper airs of the sky. And here's a great principle that is in Scripture and in nature. When God creates, gives you a new body, it's not like he recreates something new out of nothing. It's out of the acorn that is born the oak tree, out of the caterpillar that comes the butterfly, and out of your body that's in the earth, God is going to take the bare kernel of that dust and by his power raise it up glorious and glorified at the day of his coming. Do you believe that?
Yes.
This is not absurd and this is not unreasonable. The entire world already is operating on this principle in nature every day if you just have eyes to see it. Now, when we're raised, what will we be like? Let's take a look at what Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 15 once again. He says, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, it's raised imperishable. It's sown, let's put you and Adam up here. Where's Adam? Adam, here you are. This is you, right? You're bearing the image of Adam right now. What happens to you? At some point, if the Lord doesn't return in your lifetime, you have to also die, and you will be raised glorified, right? This is what Paul is saying here. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, right? Your body wears out, decays. What is raised is imperishable. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. You feel that, right? It's raised in power. It's sown a physical body. It's raised a spiritual body. And if there's a physical body, there's also a spiritual body. Thus it's written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it's not the spiritual which is first, but the physical, right? Isn't that true? You got to have an acorn before you have an oak. You got to have a caterpillar before you have a butterfly. You got to bear the image of Adam first, and then you get to bear the image of Christ in your body at his coming, right? Okay, so it says the first man was from the earth, a man of dust. That's Adam. The second man was from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we've borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. That's in the future, right? I tell you this, brethren, flesh and blood, our present bodies, what we got, what we're in right now, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. In other words, the forest, friends, does not belong to the acorn, but to the oak tree, right? The skies do not belong to the caterpillar, but to the butterfly. And the world to come does not belong to your present flesh as it is now, which bears the image of Adam. But when Christ comes on the last day and raises you up, your bodies will put on immortality as he did, and those will be fit for life in the kingdom. Isn't that beautiful? But you've got to have death over here before you get to this one. You've got to go into that earth. The outer husk, the shell, your present body has got to go into decay. And then comes the oak tree, the butterfly, and the glorified body. Does that sound reasonable? So what am I looking at, a congregation of? I'm looking at this huge oak tree and all of your little acorns on the limbs of Jesus Christ, right? This is your stage. And God's told you already ahead of time, this is where you are. This is where you are in the stage. This is what's coming. But don't be afraid of that, because this is what is coming afterwards. I didn't destine you to be an acorn forever. I destined you to be an oak tree. I destined you to bear the image of my son, Jesus Christ. And in that world to come, you know, your present flesh cannot see God and live. This flesh that God's going to raise you up in, you're going to be able to see God face to face and not die. And so what will our bodies be like? Listen to this. Beloved, we're God's children now, says John. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, when he comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Can you just imagine that with me for a moment? What has God got in store for you, for your destiny? You're going to look like Jesus Christ. Your body is going to be so glorious, it's going to be like his. Like his. And no eye has seen or ear heard nor heart of man conceived what God's prepared for those who love him, but we've got a glimpse of it, and our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will raise our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Say, like his glorious body.
Like his glorious body.
By the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. In Romans 8, one more, he says, if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of him who raised Christ dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit which dwells within you. Oh, this is great stuff. If the world cries absurd, I direct them to Jeremiah 32, verse 27, where God says, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And when's this all going to happen, friends? How quickly is this going to happen? Here we go. Getting toward the end. It says this. Lo, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Didn't you know I must have an eye for you up here? There you go. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. So how long is all this transformation, changing, glorifying, empowering going to take place? Blink of an eye. Done. It's over. God, boom, and it's done. He'll raise you up, and then comes the end, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. The last enemy God will destroy will be death. It's going to be gone forever. And then come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you, Jesus says, which I prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so, Last thing I'll say is this. What should be our response to all this? I mean, what is it doing inside of you right now? Should have some real joy, and we ought to cling to Jesus Christ all the more enthusiastically. Amen? And not wander away from him. That's why Paul ends this whole thing like this. When the perishable here puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come that past the saying that's written, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, be steadfast, immovable in your faith, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And at the very end of time, which is coming, by the way, very quickly, when you're raised up, you can stand there with Job on that day and say, I know that my Redeemer lives. And now at last I see him on the earth with my own eyes. My own flesh I see him. And it'll be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We waited for him. This is our God. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.